Fearless.
Founding 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 Fearless.
Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast. We are your hosts, Sydney Key
and Priscilla Olivares,
and we're here to support you through your journey in becoming a fearless leader and discovering your inner confidence.
We are talking about all things entrepreneurial through a college woman's lens. We hope to leave you feeling empowered after each episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Founding Fearless podcast, season 2.
Today, we have a special guest who embodies an entrepreneur who leads with kindness and resilience while touching into her creative side.
Adriana Carrig is the founder and CEO of Little Words Project. Bullied from a very young age, Adriana made bracelets to help herself through difficult times. While in college, she made them for her sorority to build community and encouragement. It didn't take long for her to realize that this simple product could become a vehicle of kindness and self-love for the masses. Since 2013, the company has grown from her parents' basement to an influential and community-first lifestyle brand. Today, her company has over 250,000 direct online customers, is in over 2,000 wholesale locations, and has retail stores all over the country, with more coming this year.
Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast, Adriana. Thank you so much for coming on to share your entrepreneurial journey. We're super excited.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay.
Okay, the first question is just tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? And just how have you gotten to where you are now?
Yeah. So I grew up in New Jersey. I went to a school in New Jersey. I went to the College of New Jersey, also known as TCNJ, which is a small public liberal arts college. And it, you know, was there that I first created my first batch of Little Words, which at the time I called them warm fuzzies. They were meant to inspire kindness and self-love and positivity amongst my sorority sisters at the time, because we had dealt with a lot of negativity from other chapters, and it just wasn't like the nicest experience at that school. But the sorority itself was where I found true sisterhood, true kindness, and true community. And, you know, I had grown up my whole life being very bullied. I dealt with a lot of negativity from a young age, and I just really wanted to create something that was about bringing kindness and positivity to the world, especially to girl world at the time, which we've since expanded to include everybody, not just females, but when I was in college, it really felt like a female problem. Like we were just, girls were not nice to one another. And I really, really wanted to create something that changed that. And luckily, you know, fast forward 10 years, I graduated college in 2013, I made my first Little Word, which was a nicer version of warm fuzzies. Mm-hmm. And I added to that a little tag. It's basically our gold signifying tag that has both our logo and a unique code on it. So that code is unique to that bracelet, and you use that code to connect the bracelet to our community. And then when you do online, and then when you do pass it on, you can actually track and see where it goes and who it's helped and who else connects the bracelet and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that kind of started in 2013 at my parents' basement. And fast forward 10 years, like you said in my intro, it's been a decade of inspiring real community and kindness amongst all people who join our nice nation, as we refer to it. And yeah, it's been an absolute whirlwind, to say the least.
Wow, that's awesome. Can you talk a little bit more about how you scaled your business? And so like, what were some of the first partners you had or help along the way that got you to where you are now?
Yeah. So, you know, the business was, first of all, it was bootstrapped, meaning I put my own investment of about $5,000 in the very beginning. And then I was able to turn a profit that first month, which was crazy.
Wow.
But from there, it just continued being self-sustained all the way 9 full years until early this year, we got our first round of investment. So with that, we had to be very lean, very intentional about every decision. We couldn't just throw money at the problem and or throw money at branding or throw money at employees. Like, we really had to grow and build very slowly. So I'd say that, you know, the partnerships and the things that we've had have all been, you know, the result of really, really hard work of trying to like break down some of these doors and convince people mm-hmm. that they would want this product. I'll tell you, 10 years ago when I was first launching it, nobody really cared about these like a friendship bracelet. Like, it really wasn't the vibe, if I'm being honest. Now it's obviously everywhere, and Taylor Swift's, mm-hmm. you know, whole energy doesn't make that, you know, it makes it even more prevalent. Mm-hmm. But it was hard in the beginning to get those early partnerships. And we worked, my first partnership we worked on was with Always Brand. And they had this Like a Girl campaign, which you guys are too young to remember probably, but it was, you know, a campaign of, you know, fight like a girl, kick like a girl, run like a girl, and how impressive we as women can be. And they were our first major like partnership, and all we did was make bracelets for one of their events. And yet every time we did something small with a major brand, you know, fast forward, we worked with Nike Women's Summit. Fast forward from there, you know, we've worked with a number of brands like Barbie to Dunkin'. We just did our collab mm-hmm. with Mean Girls that launched today. Mm-hmm. But the point being, every time we worked with one of these brands, we really leveraged the storytelling around that partnership drop. So talking about it as much as we could, kind of almost like hitching our wheels to their wagon and mm-hmm. kind of like grifting off of their messaging in public world, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. And that really helped us. It helped us grow along the way.
Awesome. That's awesome. And so I have another question. So did you originally create all the bracelets by hand at the beginning? And how long did you do that for before you started getting more employees for that or outsourcing to a manufacturer?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer is yes. I made every single freaking bracelet. at my parents' folding table of our basement back in 2013. So I made every bracelet, and then I hired like one person. I had an intern first, and then I hired a full-timer, and the three of us beaded every single bracelet. We moved into an apartment my now husband, then boyfriend, and was like a one studio apartment where like our bed was in the same room as like the couch and the same room as the office desk area. So it was very intimate. But we did that for about, I want to say for about 2.5 to 3 years, we wow. were hand making every bracelet. It wasn't until we got our first major wholesale order, which was a mm-hmm. store called The Paper Store, which has a lot, like, I think, I don't know how many exact locations they have, but it's hundreds and, or 80, something along those lines. And mm-hmm. it was a huge PO for us. And there was no way I was going to be able to fulfill it all. We tried, we got as far as we could. And I was at the same time searching for manufacturing, and I found someone in Rhode Island who could make the bracelets yeah. for me. So that was about 2015, 2016, when we started wholesale and going to trade shows. I needed mm-hmm. to start getting some additional yeah. help. Now, I mean, I never make a bracelet. I haven't made a bracelet in like, I want to say 3 years, which is just so crazy because you go from making every single one. Like, my dad was my original shipping department. Like, it was a very homegrown thing to yeah. now not having to make them. Like, I kind of miss it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's been, yeah, we're definitely no longer making bracelets by hand here. They are still all made by hand, but it's not me.
That's awesome.
Well, like, backtracking to after graduation from college, I mean, you were planning on going to law school and then you decided to dive into the entrepreneurial world. So like, how did you balance starting your company, but also like working full time as well?
It was hard. I was planning on going to law school, as you said, my entire life. I think I've always just been like an outspoken woman. So when you're an outspoken girl, people always like, you should be a lawyer. So I just kind of like listened to them, and I probably could have been a decent lawyer. My brother's actually a lawyer now. But I was planning on going to law school, and then it was really one of those, like, you see it like in the movies where like you like shoot out of bed with an idea. It was like that when I realized, wait a minute, if I added the number on the tag, if I added that code, that could be the X factor that made this a product and not just a cute piece of jewelry. Yeah. So when I had that moment, I was in the process of studying for my LSAT. I was about to take that test to get into law school and go through the journey. But then it just started, like, both things were going at the same time. And then the brand took off. So I had to go that direction. And then when it comes to, you know, starting, like, I was also working at the time, like you mentioned. So I was working, studying for the LSAT, building this business, trying to figure out what was going to come of it. So it was a lot to juggle, but I think I just, you know, did what I had to do. I compartmentalized my days. Like, I would go to work, be at work. I would study during my lunch break for the LSAT, and then I'd come home and fulfill some orders. And it kind of went like that for a little while. And then, it wasn't until I got my scores back. And I was like, you're not going to get into Harvard, so maybe don't go to law school. And I was like, you know what? Also, I really am loving what I'm doing, and I love what this is shaping up to be. So let me just put all my eggs in this basket, if you will, or at least half my eggs in this basket, because I was still working full time for about like a year and a half. And then once I started realizing that if I could give my company more time, it could make more money, that's when I was like, okay, let me not spend time working at this other person's company and instead give all my time to my own. And it, you know, it continues to build from there.
Yeah. And at the time, like, was your main point of sale through like a website or?
Yeah, we had, so when I first launched, I really did not want to go the Etsy route, which was like very popular at the time. And that's because I really wanted the brand to feel like a brand. Like, I wanted it to have storytelling around it. I wanted it to have a website. I wanted it to have a marketing video, like an about me section. Like, I really wanted it to feel like a true brand. And this is, you know, 10 years ago when there weren't really many true jewelry brands out there. Like, I will say, you know, like Kendra Scott was actually a great, obviously a great example of a brand that existed at the time, but there were not many others that, you know, had that energy, right? Besides like the heavy hitters, right? There weren't as many smaller jewelry. Anyone who was smaller was going on Etsy. So we really tried to be intentional about that and start with the website. And that was the first 2.5 years was just direct website sales. Then I started the wholesale track. And that's because I had a random sales rep who worked in the wholesale world selling brands to stores. She approached me and was like, I only rep one other line. I would love to rep you guys and you know, show you what line sheets are. And I was like, what is a rep? Like, what is wholesale? I didn't even like know anything about it. And that's kind of how the whole story of the business developed, was learning as I went and asking questions and not being afraid to ask those questions. So yeah, it wasn't until 2016 that we started wholesale. And then from 2016 all the way to 2021, it was just online and wholesale. Then in 2021, we opened our first brick and mortar store, and we've been expanding those for the past 2 years.
Wow. So did you have any previous experience in jewelry making, or was it just like jewelry that you made as a kid that you picked back up? And why specifically did you do beaded bracelets when like first launching this, especially for your sorority? Did you have like other ideas of things that you could do?
Yeah, that's a great, really good question. So the answer is as simple as the reason I chose this bracelet, this look and feel, and this, you know, style was because it was the simplest for me to make. I was not a jeweler. I am not a jeweler. Well, now I am. But when I first started, I was just a girl who wanted to create something that would bring about some social change. And I needed a simple way to do that. There was intention behind the design being as simple as it is. And it's that I wanted it to bring back like nostalgic energy from like the days when we were kids and at camp and we were making bracelets. And, you know, it also was very sorority energy. And when I graduated from my sorority, I really wanted to bring it. When I wanted to bring it to the masses, I was like, I could change this design, but why would I when the intention is to build sisterhood? And it worked so well for my sorority. Like, there was a point in time where you would walk around campus, and if you saw these little warm fuzzy bracelets on a girl's wrist, you knew she was a Delta Zeta before having to look at her letter shirts.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, okay, that's the kind of community I'm trying to build. So even now, like if you see someone wearing a little word, you're like, and you're a little word, like if you're a part of Nice Nation and you see someone out in the wild wearing a little word, you're actually like delighted and excited because you realize, oh my gosh, you know this brand too. And you're instantly friends. And it's like, that's what we were trying to build. So the answer is I was able to make it. That is the reason I went with this. And also it's nostalgic and it's youthful and it's fun. And, you know, I guess I knew it was going to kind of take off 10 years later and be like the thing. But yeah, at first it was, I had a lot of people tell me I should change the design too. Like I had a lot of people be like, are you sure you want to launch these? They're kind of cheapy looking and a kid could make them and da da da. But I was like, well, the trick is making it elevated, making it look cleaner and nicer and not like a kid could make it. And also like, trust me, they're coming back was my energy.
And so the whole business is focused around this movement towards sisterhood initially at the beginning, kindness, self-love. And so can you talk more about the mission behind it and how you specifically incorporate all these values into your daily life or daily work?
The concept of passing on kindness and self-love really comes from a place of, like I said earlier, I had dealt my whole life feeling like I didn't belong, feeling like I was not part of a community and seeking it and wanting it and not being able to find it anywhere. And so it wasn't until I got to college that I found community and sisterhood and kindness in women that I was like, wait a minute, this is possible. And we just have to have something that unites us all. And these bracelets really did unite us all. And I made my first batch to give to my sorority sisters because I was the VP of membership and I needed to come up with a way, according to my like assessment packet, and any sorority girlies will understand what that means. The assessment packet literally asked me like, how do you keep the love circulating? And so I came up with the idea as a method to do just that, to keep the love circulating. And that's the sentence that has kind of carried me into and through the last decade of these bracelets are meant to keep the love circulating. It's not only meant to give kindness, but it's meant to teach yourself kindness and look down and see the word hope when you're going through something difficult. And, you know, reminder to love, like, look, I have a bracelet that says rare to remind me that I'm rare. And like, you just remember the thing that makes you, you, when you have these little reminders right on your wrist. Right. And then that gives yourself self-love. And once you have self-love, now you can pass it on. And that's when you feel, when you feel whole, you can kind of give to others. And that's where the concept of self-love and passing it on and kindness comes from, is the knowledge that when you first have it, you can then share it. And so that's like that mission concept behind the brand. And then when the way I try to lead, you know, I try to do it in my leadership. I try to do it in how I manage my team. We have 40 employees now, which is insane coming from that place of, you know, my parents' basement, my dad being my first employee to it being this team of young men and women who I am their leader, if you will. So trying to always lead with kindness, compassion, empathy, and love is absolutely a core principle of who I am. You know, I hope they would all agree that that's how I lead, but I really try to make it feel like family. And not only internally, but externally, anyone who encounters our brand, anyone who comes into one of our stores, I actively tell the people who work at our stores, I let them know every time I see them, like, remember, when people come in, we want it to feel like they're walking into their bedroom, their living room, their best friend's house. Like they're going to get styled with their sister. Like it's a family feeling. So we just really try to embody that. I try to embody that in my everyday life. And then lastly, one of our core pillars is give back. And it's something that we are really devoted to and committed to. We have a program called Little Words, Big Impact, where we co-create bracelets with different nonprofit organizations. And we put those up for a period of time, like mostly it's a year. And then we donate 25% of the sales of that bracelet that we co-designed back to them quarterly. So we really just try to do that. And then there's a whole other part of the business that is our Hidden Link business. And this is where people can come and fundraise with us. So they have something going on in their personal life that they want to fundraise for, or someone that they, you know, want to honor, or like someone who's passed on, or it could be sorority groups that want to create their, create a word that has their philanthropy on it and then mm-hmm. put this up for a period of a month. It's a hidden link. So we don't promote it, but you can promote it to anybody that you want to sell bracelets to. We fulfill every bracelet and then we donate 25% back to you and your organization at the end. So long-winded answer to your question, but this is who I am. Basically, I try to live by absolutely everything that we stand for, by putting our money where our mouth is and by just actively showing up in our internal and external communities with kindness.
So on your website, I saw that you have like a really big article or just really saying about like the Hispanic Heritage Month. And so how has that like impacted your business and just like you like bringing in that heritage into your business and your values?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that it's definitely been a driving force. Like I said, Queremos Poder is the quote that, like, I wrote my college essay on that quote. Like, literally, it was the first line. And then, you know, I carried it into, like, believing in myself and doing this. It's a mural on our wall at the office. It's a mural on our wall in Miami, at our Miami store. So it's always been, like, this thread. And, like, my heritage has been a thread, you know, for the business and the growth of the business, and always bringing back to those values of understanding the importance of give back. I mean, I've got an entire family in Mexico that does not live the way that we live, and we do everything. My mom does everything in her power to give back to her community and her family and where she grew up so that, you know, she can kind of lift as you climb kind of concept, right? Rise by lifting others. And so that's definitely something that has been instilled in me as a result of that heritage and that upbringing and understanding that, you know, there's a totally another way that people are living in this world. And it's, it, you know, if we're not doing our part to help them and like we said, lifting as we climb, then what are we doing it all for?
Yeah. Well, on that similar note of like just impact and significance, what has been, or can you share like a favorite story or just impact that a consumer has told you about the, using or having the bracelet?
Yeah. So that's the best part about Little Words, that we can actually, and they're all public facing too. So if you guys have a chance to click around the site, you should definitely take a look. The connection page shows all of the different connections that people have made. So people, when they connect their bracelet, they put in a little story and they tell how the bracelet has impacted them. And we like to share those on our social media because it does show how much these little words and what a big impact they really do have on your life. My favorite stories are the ones when it comes to like motherhood and fertility. I actually myself dealt with a lot of fertility issues. I ended up having to do IVF to conceive my first baby 2 years ago. And whenever I read stories, and like my bracelets got me through, you know, it was the first time like actively it worked for me because I looked down and the word that I had was trust, because I had to trust that it was all going to happen. And know, like K-N-O-W, like I had to also know it was going to happen. You know, you really have to like get into that mindset. So the bracelets really help with that. And seeing some of the stories that women shared during their fertility struggles, and they would literally connect their bracelet at like their IVF rounds and their retrievals and whatnot. And then when they actually had their babies, they would do it. They would reconnect the bracelet and share that story and put a picture of them holding their baby with their bracelet that got them through. And it just like, those always hit me the hardest, because it's like, I know what that's like. And knowing that these little bracelets can get people through some of the hardest times of their lives, it really keeps me going and keeps me working as hard as I do.
I just got chills when you said
describe that. I know those ones get me the most.
That's awesome. Okay, switching gears a little bit. I know I'm super excited to talk about this, but we know that Taylor Swift was presented with bracelets on stage at the VMAs this past September. And so I saw TikTok videos of reactions and everything like that. But from your point of view, what was your reaction to this? And then did you see a spike in profits and people on the website and everything from this interaction on stage?
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, that was the craziest thing ever. It was so organic. It was even crazier to me, the millennial, like in the room, that Lance Bass and NSYNC holding the bracelets. Like, that's crazy. So essentially, Lance reached out to our team to get our bracelets for this purpose. He wanted to drop bracelets to Taylor Swift, and he wanted them to be Little Words Project because we've worked with him in the past and he knows us and recognizes us as like the original word bracelet, not the like original version that we were making in camp and that people were making in the 80s. Like, we never claimed to be that, but the original brand on the scene with word bracelets was definitely us. And so he recognizes that, he loves us. And for whatever reason that I can't even fathom, it's like Lance Bass, but he really wanted to make it happen. And then, so we made the, like, we got it done. We got it to his people. We got it to him, actually, Mariah, who's like one of the other, you know, faces for the brand for me and one of my first employees. She like literally delivered these bracelets to him at a lunch the day of the VMAs. And then he goes, but he wasn't sure he was going to be able to like execute the drop. Like, he was like, I'm not sure if she's going to win. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get my hands out of my pocket in time. I don't know what's going to happen. So we were really not sure. So what you witnessed or what you saw on those videos of us reacting were like real time, real reactions. Yeah. Like, I think, like, I have a sticker on my arm that my son put there. I've got shit all over my house. It was not staged at all. If it had been staged, I maybe would have like been a little more intentional about the look of the video. But it was crazy. I mean, it was very raw, like, oh my God, you know. I think a little bit of it too was happiness that after everything this year with the Taylors, with the Eras tour and people passing out bracelets that like look a lot like ours, but aren't, you know, really was taking over. You know, there's a part of you that's a little nervous that like, okay, are people then going to want to come and buy what we're creating if they're making them on their own, you know? So I never really like allowed that to truly like scare me or like, scare me away from continuing what we're doing. Like, that we have a whole community outside of the Swiftie universe that loves and already wears these bracelets. But what was cool about the VMA moment was seeing that happen on stage and being able and knowing that they were ours and they were being given to Taylor really felt like we took it back, you know, like we really kind of were able to put our official stamp on like, yes, you guys and everybody is doing this, but we are the original, we are the premier, we are the premium version of this bracelet. And if you come to us, you can get something really stunning and beautiful and special that Taylor also has. But you can also make them yourself and they'll be like a little less quality. That's okay. And then as far as if that drove profits and sales, it definitely drove a ton of eyeballs. We were able to pop up the bracelets that we did give Lance to our website. A lot of what we were seeing were people being like, can I please have these exact bracelets? We want these bracelets. We want these bracelets. There was no like intentional energy behind, like, I don't like to do that. Like, I don't want to profit off of something like, or someone that isn't me. So I didn't never wanted to like, we've never done that before with Taylor. But this time we were like, okay, those are our bracelets. They are in her hands and people are asking for like what they are. So we popped them up and yes, we saw some great lift. We're still trying to fulfill orders from that day of sales, and a few days since. And, you know, we have some other fun things in the works that will be Taylor adjacent, if you will, that I think people are going to be excited about in the coming weeks.
Well, it's funny because I heard about your brand, or like, I got TikToks, y'all's TikToks on my For You page. And it was one where I guess like a social media intern got to go to the Eras tour.
Yes.
And start handing out the bracelets. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And so like, I checked out the website, but then I saw your comment on when Kendra Scott's episode came out. And I was like, Sydney, like, I love this brand. I saw it on TikTok. Like, we have to have her on the podcast.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me. I saw that. And Kendra Scott is definitely one of my biggest inspirations. I think the way that she created her brand, and I always knew of Kendra Scott in the ether, but it was very like Southern focused for a while and New Jersey. But also North Jersey. And it hadn't reached us at the time or like over the past decade until recently. It's like been like exploding. And I've been looking more into her and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I see so many parallels. So I always am inspired by what she does and where she speaks. And, you know, loved, you know, that you guys wanted to have me on because it's such an exciting, I love talking about the brand. I love talking about where we came from, especially to collegiate students, because, you know, at the end of the day, you guys are in it, right? You're like about to become the next version of yourself. And it's such an exciting time. And so I love the ability to inspire people who maybe, you know, need to see that there are different ways out there. And that's why I always share too, that we never got funding because there, and neither did Kendra in the beginning. And that exists, you know, that is possible. You just have to be willing to work your butt off. And, you know, there's different versions of creating a business that don't look like, you know, the Glossier of the world where you get millions of dollars at the very beginning of your, you know, life cycle. It's that comes later. But yeah, thank you.
And so having just the company, the podcast, the nonprofit, what impact do you hope the business will have 4 years to come, or some things that you would want to invest more in the future?
Oh my gosh. I hope it just continues to grow. I hope that we are, you know, one day the little word is synonymous with, you know, the friendship bracelet or the word bracelet, like a Kleenex is a tissue. I think that we're on our way, and I want, you know, just like it was for my sorority sisters, I want people to see other people in little words and think to themselves, that's a safe place, right? That's a kind person. That's someone who I know I can be myself around, and I know I can share love with, and, you know, in a really organic and real way. So I want it to be a household name. I want it to get out there, and I want it to make real impact in people's lives, both from a fundraising standpoint and a give back standpoint, which I'm proud to say we've donated over $600,000 in just the past 2 years. When we launched the give back program, and even more so if we factor in the first 8 years of my, you know, rudimentary version of give back, just giving back wherever I could. And so I would like that to continue. And, you know, like I said, putting more time and effort into those side projects that I do think also inspire and grow people's belief in themselves. And then, you know, I'd love to be able to speak more. I want to go and speak at different conferences and events, and inspire people to, like I said, be their best selves, be their most confident selves, and encourage other young women to start those businesses and, like, get their dreams out there and follow them, because anything's possible if you believe in yourself.
For the last question, what would be some, like, final advice for any entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would say just start somewhere. You know, I think people get so bogged down in worrying about, like, do I have the business plan? Do I have the money? Do I have the this or whatever? I think it just would make, I just think everyone would benefit from believing in themselves and just starting from that place of belief and, you know, doing something, even if it's just like getting the name trademarked or getting the Instagram handle or putting something up on Etsy. If you just want to start making money and you don't have the money to make a whole website, right? Like, just doing what you can to start somewhere will really help in your journey. And that's going to be true for the whole journey. Like, the whole time you are in business, you're going to have to just figure it out as you go and put one foot in front of the next, even if you don't know exactly the path you're going to be taking. So yeah, start somewhere.
Now we're going to move on to the rapid fire segment. So these are just fun and quick questions. So just say the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
So the first question is something no one would expect about you.
I don't know. I'm a huge vintage decor lover. I love vintage picking. Like, I love to go to, like, a vintage, like, store, or not for clothes, but for, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Pointless stuff.
Yeah. All the knickknacks.
Knickknacks. Yeah. Like, just decor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a decor. Maybe not novelty items. Like, I don't have, like, a bunch of, like, vintage, like, Mickey Mouses or anything. Like, I don't have, like, one of those, like, shrines to, like, old, like, you know what I mean? Like, figurines. Yeah. But I do love, like, a vintage lamp. Like, I want, like, a vintage vase. Like, I want vintage furniture. Like, I love vintage things.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. What's your morning routine?
Wake up, drink water and coffee, roll out of bed, literally put on an outfit, get out the door. It's quick.
Yeah.
Once I have the kids settled, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure with the kids too. That
I'm like, I focus on me after. It's not like a, I mean, it's not a long process. And it's not very, like, entrepreneurial and, like, meditative and, like, journaling. Like, no. Yeah. There's no time.
The most important lesson that you've learned in life.
It's okay to fail. As long as you're failing forward.
There you go. What does founding fearless mean to you?
Going for it. Just believing in yourself and going for it, even if that means failure is an option. Mm-hmm. It's being afraid, but doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. How do listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me on Instagram at Adriana Carrig, but also, following Little Words Project is a great start as well. We're on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very findable.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to subscribe and follow to the Founding Fearless podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to like, rate, and leave us a review.
Founding Fearless.
Founding Fearless.